Well, good morning, my friends. Good to see you on Good Morning Live. We are back. Yeah, we took the day off yesterday. We closed the office and just took a day to recoup and refresh after Easter weekend and all the events, of course, that we did. Not only Easter service, of course, at Hope City Church, which was amazing. Our worship team did amazing. Our greeters team, our kids team. It was just a great service all around. But hosting the Columbia Community Egg Hunt, which saw thousands of people. Good morning, my friend Cheryl. We certainly spent a lot of time in the same location the last few weeks. But yeah, just so many things happening over the last few weeks. And so yeah, yesterday we closed the office and just stayed home. And but let's just recap for a minute, because my heart is so full and blessed and overwhelmed by our church and our faith community here at Hope City Church, and even our extended community through Pioneer Television. And man, just what we have been able to do has been incredible, and not just this weekend. So we kicked off one of the busiest seasons of church life, starting with Dale Mass coming to minister and prepping for those services. And then right after that, we had Revival Weekend with City Harvest Bishops coming. And man, that was a powerful weekend within itself. And then, of course, right on the back of that, we got ready for the egg hunt and then, of course, Easter service. And I don't know that I've ever been as proud of our church family and community as I have in the last several weeks. Like, people kept saying, "Are you must be so stressed about this, these outreach events." And really wasn't, only because we had great people carrying the weight and doing what they could do. And as a combined community, man, we made it happen. And so I don't know that I've ever been just as grateful for our team as I have been in this past season. So anyway, so we've had some amazing times, and it's not over yet. The Lord's been speaking to me about what is next, what this summer is going to look like for us at Hope City Church, and some things that he wants to do here through Pioneer. And we're just getting started. So, but one of the things we do got to do is in the course of all of that is learning to take those pauses and breaks and rest, and making sure that our soul is cared for, making sure that we are breathing in between, right? And so yesterday, you know me, you know yard work is my thing. So Saturday, our riding mower. I had not yet mowed our grass this season. And I thought, no, Saturday after the egg hunt and I'm going out, I have an appointment with my yard, only to find that our mower tire was flat and off the rim. And the place that could fix it wasn't open before I could get there. So I told Sarah, I said, "Before you show up at this egg hunt, you stop and you get that tire fixed, because I have an appointment." And so I was able to finally get out there and mow this past weekend. But on the other side of that, yesterday was outside and expanding our flower beds more and starting to pump out the water from the tarp on the pool to get things ready for spring. So anyway, I had a good day. So I don't know what you all did yesterday, but I had a good day. And so that's that. But we want to hop into the word this morning, because that's why we're here, to start a good morning and have a good morning. But I said all that to say is thank you for allowing me the grace yesterday to just pause the live and just spend some extra time not here in the office or the studio. But anytime it comes after Easter, after a big service, I always think this message, and this is the core of a message that I preached several years ago, but it's really been foundational. And let me tell you how it started for me. It started when I was 16 and I got my driver's license, and I've shared this story many times. And I, the first thing I did is I said, "Mom, I'm going to World Harvest Church to see Pastor Parsley." And many of you know that story. But I remember, I mean, just really being impacted by his ministry and the move of the Holy Spirit in the church services there. And I remember coming back, and I was working at a Family Dollar store, and I remember parking in front of the Family Dollar, ready to go in. And I remember just feeling like I had just come from this mountaintop experience with God, right? Like, my world was shaken. My faith was shaken. God was moving. Good things were happening. And just feeling this incredible sense of mountaintop. That's the only way I can describe it. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. Encounter with God. And here I am getting ready to walk into the Family Dollar store that I was working at to run a register and, you know, check people out and load shelves and, you know, all of that stuff that you would do. And I remember just feeling like, I don't want to go in. Like, I don't want to go back. I don't want to come down from this mountaintop. And I remember, like, at that time thinking, well, that I ended up going into work, but I remember thinking, I'm just going to quit my job. I'm going to, you know, just go kind of AWOL. And I want to be at like conference like that every week. And how many, you know, that's just not, we can have good encounters with God. Don't hear me wrong, all of the time, but we also got to work. We got to eat. We got to provide for our families. And I mean, I was 16 at the time, didn't have one, but you understand what I'm saying. We have to come off the mountaintop every once in a while and live life. And in the process of that, you know, on our morning drives, we can have mountaintop experiences and you know, but you still got to come off the mountain every once in a while. And I remember thinking to myself, I just don't want this to end. I remember the Holy Spirit speaking to me, you do not have to let Satan blow out that fire. I remember that clear as day, sitting in that parking lot. And I didn't know what all that meant, but I knew that it didn't have anything to do with my next activity, if that makes sense. It didn't have anything to do with the fact that the conference was over and now I'm back at a Family Dollar store checking people out and stocking shelves. Like, what God was doing in my life wasn't going to pull me out of my ordinary everyday, right? But it was going to impact and change my ordinary everyday. Like, it wasn't that I wasn't going to have to come off of the mountain, but I go back and I think of Moses, who, you know, went up to the mountain to hear from the Lord for Israel and what God wanted to do. And, you know, they would look up and they would see the lightning and the thunder and the smoke, and God was meeting with Moses, and this was incredible. But Moses still had to come off the mountain. He had to come back down. But the difference was, is when he went up empty-handed. But when he came down with the Ten Commandments, which was, you know, we could look at them like, well, yeah, he came down with the law. But he came down in that moment with a word from God. Like, these people had just come out of 400 and some years of Egyptian bondage. And you know, this was one of the first things that God was going to say to them on how to conduct their lives and what was next for them. And it was a powerful moment in their journey, in their life. And so, you know, we think about that as Moses went up to the mountain empty-handed. He went up to the mountain with his heart seeking God. What's next? What are you doing? What are you saying? What's in store for me beyond this moment? What's in store for this community beyond this moment? And he goes up to the mountain and he has this God-given divine encounter. He visits God. It's this incredible mountaintop experience, but he still has to come down, because what God does for us in the mountain is never meant to stay in the mountain. What God does for us in the mountain is meant to be given into our hands so that we can bring it down from the mountain into the valley to change and revolutionize our valley. So I consider that after I come out of Easter weekend, I consider that after I come out of, you know, the back of Revival weekend and Dale Mass and all that God's been doing here at Hope City. I mean, the miracle of the eggs that I've been calling it, right? That like God showed up and provided. And, you know, I was telling some people, I said, you know, I needed that miracle. If you were around, you know what, I don't repeat the story again, but what God did there. And I said, I needed that miracle. I think he did that just for me, because sometimes in you know, church life, you feel like, are we even doing the right thing? Should we even be doing this egg hunt? God, are you even with us? You know, you all go through times like that. And it was just like, I know it was just some eggs, but it was an on-time kiss from heaven that God did to just kind of remind me and remind us as a community that I'm with you. I haven't abandoned you. I haven't forsaken you. I'm still God. Like, you're on the right track here. But you come out of the experiences of all of that, and you come to Monday. Easter's over. Resurrection celebration is over. It's like I, you know, was saying to Paula, you know, because she was in kids' church on Sunday. I said, well, I mean, here's the basis of my message. Surprise, he got up. Like, right? Like, you know, we know that, but it's the celebration and it's the, you know, all of that. And we move back into our ordinary lives. And I say this because I'm reminded of that first mountaintop experience I had when I was 16 years old. And God saying, Satan cannot blow out the fire if you do not let him. And so that's what I want to encourage us around a little bit today is what are our after intentions? What are we intending after the mountaintop? What are we intending after Easter? What does, you know, after the conference, after, you know, even some of our youth went to the Shout conference, you know, a few weeks ago and had some great experiences there. And it's like, what are our intentions after something like that? So I want to read you this verse of scripture found in Matthew 27. And it says this: when it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph. He was also a disciple of Jesus. Now, this is after the crucifixion. It's after Jesus has died. It says he was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took and wrapped it in a clean linen and laid it in his own tomb. So it was his borrowed tomb that Jesus was in, which had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. So Jesus had just died. Just for a little bit of context here, the disciples were scattered. They were afraid. The crowds who cried hosannas, we know, later cried, crucify him. They are all gone. The religious leaders were finally satisfied that Jesus, the proclaimed Messiah, who they saw as a troublemaker, was finally gone. They were satisfied. The Roman guards were still present, but the moment, the it is finished moment, the earthquake and the veil being torn moment seemed to be over. So who was this Joseph that stepped forward? Well, he was a wealthy, respected member of the Sanhedrin. You can find that in Mark 15. He was a secret follower of Jesus, meaning that he followed the ministry of Jesus. But until this point, we don't see him spoken by name or really have any record of him testifying of Jesus. So he was more thought of to be sort of a secret follower of Jesus. He had been waiting for the kingdom of God to come, and he hadn't consented for Jesus's condemnation. He hadn't been one of the ones who had cried, crucify him. He was loyal in that way to Jesus until the end. And then he makes a bold move. He goes and asks for the dead body of Jesus. And this is a pretty bold movement for him here, because you remember the disciples are hiding. Why? Because they were looking for anyone associated with Jesus. They wanted to not just stop Jesus, but stop the movement that he had started. So stepping up and associating with a condemned criminal approaching Pilate directly, risking his own reputation, his position, his favor with the religious elite of the day. It was a bold move on his part. He had just gotten a brand new tomb. I know that sounds weird to say, like a brand new car. He had just gotten a new tomb carved in stone, which was very likely intended for him and his family. He gave up something costly for someone who was considered rejected. Isaiah 53:9 says, "And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death." So what are our after intentions after the moment? Many had followed Jesus while he was obviously performing miracles and signs and wonders, but in the moment of his death, very few people remained. Joseph's here actions proved that his faith survived the silence of Friday, the silence of many people. If you look at that verse of scripture that we just read, we find it again in Matthew 27. If you look a little bit before that, it says that Joseph was in Jerusalem for Passover, and he was intending afterward to go and go back to Passover, go back to doing what he was doing, right? But his after intentions were disrupted because of this crucifixion of Jesus. And he takes these bold steps to ask for the body of Jesus, which again, we just outlined could have been suicide, or at least social suicide, or affect his standing with people. What he experienced affected his after intentions. I say that to say is he claimed that his intentions after all of this was to go back to Passover. And how we approach a thing and mentally in our mind position ourselves, because remember, all thinking, all imagery that happens in our mind is a form of faith. How we picture it, how we see it, how we imagine something to be happening is a form of faith. That's why, you know, the Bible commands us capture those thoughts. Why? If you're walking around envisioning defeat in your life and envisioning how is the next shoe going to drop and how is this a sickness and is that all those images that are happening and those imaginations and those thoughts, it's all a part of faith. And I love that Joseph's plan was after to go back to Passover, because it was a thought pattern of after all of this is over and done, I'm going to go back to Passover and do what it was I had done before. So we approach Easter, we approach resurrection, we approach a big weekend like this, we approach a revival weekend, we approach prophetic words, we approach those mountaintop experiences, and we come down off the mountain, and if we're not careful, we can just assume that we go back to our ordinary, everyday, mundane, in and out, and leave what happened on the mountain. But what God does on the mountain is never meant to stay on the mountain. What God does on the mountain is always designed to impact our valleys, to change the mundane, to realign the course and the pattern of where we are and what we are doing. So when we approach a weekend like Easter weekend and we have thought patterns, well, once Easter's over, I'm just going back and doing what it was and life will be what it is. What we're doing is we are attaching our faith to the expectation that what God does will be surface level only and will have no direct impact with our life or our spirit after that service or that moment is over. You know why? I mean, the church, we got to be careful that we don't overhype things. And I do get that. We hype it up so big and then, we can't back it up. And we've heard that talked about in church conferences and people, it's all hype. We got to be careful. It's just, we don't want to hype people up. But I've often found that the greatest struggle for people, at least in my 20 years of pastoring, isn't that they come into the room overhyped and with over expectation of what God's going to do. My 20 years of pastoral experience preach the opposite. Is most of the time people come into the room under expecting what God can and will do, with very little or if any expectation of life change after the moment. And typically, what they are expecting is what they are going to receive, right? So I get that we don't want to overhype people and overhype a service, but I have felt like a major part of my job is getting people to elevate their faith to begin to expect God to do something beyond what they've anticipated. Because we know that the atmosphere of expectancy is the breeding ground of miracles. So I have felt like a big part of my job in pastoring is, come on, getting the people going. Like, come on, get your faith up, get your expectation up. And this is why many times when Jesus would perform a miracle, he would ask, hey, what is it that you want me to do? Like we see when he went to the blind man and said, what is it that you want me to do? And it's like on the surface, come on, Jesus. You're asking a blind man what he wants you to do? Pretty obvious. But it wasn't that Jesus didn't know that the man was blind and that probably the biggest desire of his heart would be to regain sight. He was asking him to verbalize what it is that he was expecting to receive after this encounter. What do you want? What are you wanting? What are you expecting to walk away from this visit with Jesus, this visit with the Messiah? What are you expecting to walk away with? Are you expecting to walk away and have bragging rights that you met the Messiah, that the miracle worker, man, I was in his presence. Oh, he was there. He couldn't see him, but I got to hear his voice and I touched him. And man, I was in the presence of the miracle worker, the Messiah, and it was good. Well, that's a crazy thing to have be your walk away expectation as a blind person in the presence of the miracle worker. Like a logical reason would be, well, I'm blind and I need sight and he's a miracle worker. My expectation is that I walk away from this God encounter, this God transaction, this God moment, and I'm changed from how I came in. And where I was blind, I now see. And I know that seems like on the surface, and this wasn't the only time Jesus asked, well, what is it that you want me to do? And at one point, somebody asked him, well, Jesus, can you heal? And Jesus, it's not a question of what I can do. It's a question of what you can believe. So it's never a question of what God can do. It's a question of what we can rise up in our faith and believe for. So what does all this have to do with where we are today? At least for me and in my life, there's a temptation to leave a great weekend at Hope City Church and it's Easter and we're celebrating the resurrection and attendance is full and We just came off of a big egg hunt, and you know, we just came out of some powerful revival weekends and Dale Mass delivering prophecies and, you know, all of this stuff that's been happening, and it's so good. And there's this essence, at least within me, that let's get back to normal. Let's get back to normal. Those things were good. Close the door on them, but let's move forward. And when we do that and we don't leave room for God to, or expect God to do anything on Monday, then guess what we get on Monday? Exactly what we are expecting. Can I submit to us today that Jesus may have gotten up on Sunday, but he stayed up on Monday. He stayed alive on Tuesday. On Wednesday, he was still as much alive as he was on Sunday. What am I saying? I'm saying that the miracle of resurrection wasn't reserved for one day. The miracle of resurrection is observed every day. Like, he is still alive and well. He's still at the right hand of the Father, now making intercession that our faith would not fail. So I just felt this essence today where I just wanted to encourage us a little bit to, you know, get our faith up and get our expectation up. I know our physical bodies can get tired and our souls can get tired, and there's an appropriate time of rest, yes. But expect the resurrected Savior to do something in your life today. So I love that we call this program Good Morning. Like, are you ever going to get tired of saying, well, hope you're having a good morning? No. My daughter, Loretta, like, listen, like, I'll be 100% transparent with you. I don't know why. We went to bed last night, like, at 11. I woke up at 1, and I was awake until Sarah's alarm went off at 5 a.m. Like, I heard her alarm go off because I was still awake. And not long after her first alarm went off, I finally fell asleep. I only have to get up at like an hour later. So I'm operating on like 3 hours of sleep. So pretty tired today. All right. But I go up and get Loretta up. That's in the mornings. We all have kind of assigned projects that what we do, so to speak. I get Loretta up and help her get dressed. And man, she was tired this morning, right? She was tired, and I'm tired, and two tired people trying to get up just was not a good recipe. And she's throwing herself on the floor in her room, saying that she can't move. She can't get from her bed to the closet to pick out a dress because she's just too tired and her legs aren't working. And I'm trying to encourage her, trying to, come on, Loretta. You get excited. Is you going back to school today? You know, it's going to be a good day. Blah, blah, you know, fill in the blank of all of it. And she just was not having it. And finally, I said to her, I said, Loretta, is tired today too. If you want to have a bad day, then you can have this bad day. But if you want to choose to be tired and happy, you can choose that, right? And I was preaching as much to myself as I was to her, right? But that's where it's like, good morning. If our expectation is resting on our circumstances, then we aren't very much people of faith. If the expectation of how our day is and is going to go is resting on our the reality of our circumstances, then what we're doing is we are allowing our circumstances, well, I was up all night and I'm tired and my legs are tired and I don't want to move and, you know, I got bills to pay and there's problems and there's all kinds of circumstances. And if I'm allowing that to dictate whether I'm having a good morning or a bad morning, I'm not very much a person of faith, am I? But when I can get up after a sleepless night and throw the covers off and look at the problems and look at the circumstances and look at the issues and still stand up and say, it's going to be a good morning because the resurrected Savior is still alive. And I am expecting him today to do something extraordinary. I am expecting him today to still be the miracle worker. I am expecting that after Revival Weekend and after Easter Weekend and after Dale Mass and after all of that, I am expecting the move of God to still happen in our church services. I am expecting us to go from one level of glory to another level of glory to another level of glory. I'm not expecting to go back to how it was before. Because come on, as soon as you expect to go back to quote unquote normal, you have just sealed the distance that God encounter can take you. You have just said, God, I'm expecting you to give me goosebumps and shake me and rattle me and fire me up on Sunday morning, but I'm expecting Monday to be like every other Monday. But come on, when I get up and I say, I'm expecting the same power and fire that I experienced on the mountain to carry me into the valley, I'm expecting to still experience God today. I'm expecting a great week this week. I am expecting the same miracle that we saw of the eggs. I'm expecting that to be just the tipping point as us walking into a season of divine encounters and divine miracles. I'm expecting you to get your own egg miracles. I'm expecting you to get your own divine turnarounds. I'm expecting God to work miraculously even in your life this week. Why? Because he's not dead. He's still alive. He didn't just get up one day. He's still up today. Come on, somebody. I know as I'm preaching, the screens will go out behind me, but that's all right. I think my computer died that feeds it, but that's okay. So I ask you today, what are your after intentions? After Passover, he was expecting to go back to normal, back to how it was, back to what it looked like before. But he changed course and stepped up in boldness and asked for the body of Jesus and put the body of Jesus into his borrowed tomb. And now here we are, thousands of years later, still talking about Joseph of Arimathea, because he didn't allow his after intentions to define what he was going to do. He intended afterwards to go back to normal, but because he stepped up in boldness and took actions of faith, God was able to rewrite Joseph of Arimathea's story. I just want to encourage you today, get your faith up. Take a break. Go get nature. Rest. Let your soul recover. Let your body recover. Some of us who are squeezing those eggs and breaking them open, let your wrist recover. Come on. That's all required. That's all necessary. But don't you dare expect your life to look anything like it was before. You get your faith up and you start expecting God to do even more than you have ever expected him to do. Why? Because the resurrection is not a one-time event. It's a current reality that we walk in. So, Father, I pray for every person listening and watching today who maybe, you know, after a big weekend, after a big conference, after a big moment, we have this maybe anticipation of just going back to normal, like our flesh desires normality. But, Lord, I perceive in the spirit that you want to do something new. Behold, I do a new thing. Do you not perceive it? That you want to do something new and incredible, that you don't want us to go back to how we were before. You want us to walk away from mountaintop experiences with something in our hand that's tangible, that will keep us in the valley and sustain us through the wilderness and provide a guiding light to all that we have ahead of us. So, Father, would you help us today get our faith back up? Start expecting. Start expecting a move of God. Start expecting God to work on our life. Start expecting those bills to be supernaturally paid and taken care of. Start expecting divine turnarounds and relationships to come back in order. Start expecting the miraculous to happen. And we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Cheryl says, What'd you say here, Cheryl? I cast on a pair of socks on my knitting needles. Yep, giving these hands a rest, but it makes me happy. That's right. My hands were feeling pretty sore after all those eggs as well. Thank you for being with me today. We're back in the saddle this week, going to be encouraging you and believing that you are never going back to quote unquote normal. Your normal looks like going from one level of glory to another, always going deeper in God and higher in faith. And that's what I'm expecting and believing for you today. So thank you so much for being with me. It's been a blessing and an honor. I'll see you tomorrow morning as we get you up, get you ready, and believe that you're going to have a good morning. In Jesus' name, amen. See you next time.